deal with the better looking of me and Jared today.
So you get me right now. Oh, and he just hit record too, so that's even better. So he's going to hear that. Is it good? All right. I'll try not to go in the red too much. All right. Awesome. Well, I hope you guys are enjoying your week. It's been so much fun. I can't believe it's already Wednesday. So, and we get to have fun with an outdoor chapel in the semi-rain, sort of rainy. Semi. Yeah, if it starts raining semis, we got to go. That's a sign to leave. For sure. Yeah, I wonder who's going to help. Awesome. So, this week so far, what have we learned? Does anybody remember any, maybe some of the characters we've talked about or some of the lessons we've talked about? Name one story. Just name it. Peter. Gideon. There you go. You have your hand up too. You've been patiently waiting for me to call on you. Oh, you're fine. I put you on the spot. Sorry. Yes.
So walking on water.
Walking on water with Peter. Yes. I see that hand. Daniel. That's right. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Does anybody remember their real names or their Hebrew names?
Daniel.
Hananiah.
Zechariah.
It's best hearing the ones they make up. Zerubbabel. So, something like that. It's all good. It's quite all right. So, we've had a lot of good lessons so far. Different perspectives, different things looking at the theme of, what's our theme? You can say it out. Thrive. That's right. Has anybody said the memory verse for this week? You have. Does anybody want to be put on the spot and say it right now?
Yes.
You do? Go ahead. Say it. Loud and proud. For those of you listening later, she nailed it. She did it perfectly. So that was good. Great job. Give a round of applause. That was really good. So that's, I don't know if Jared's going to do this tonight. So if he does, I'm stealing his thunder first. That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into that. I've heard we've got about at least 2 hours here, so we're good. So we're just going to start now. You guys are comfortable, right? Not even taking a joke. It's just like, this is, yeah, straight serious. It's okay. All right, but she is correct, that verse. So today's, this week's theme, this summer, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give you life and give it to you in all its fullness or abundantly. So pretty interesting verse, right? If you don't know, look at the context of what it was talking about. But it's pretty cool to hear about that, right? Like, we can have this thing called abundant life. But today we're going to kind of look at, for the next few minutes, what does abundant life look like? In our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ, what would abundant life look like? What sets that apart? What makes that different? So that's what we're going to take a little bit. So in order to do that, one thing I learned in Bible college, and I went to the same one Jared did just several years after him because I'm younger, and you can rub that in his face later. I'm at least 7 years younger than him, maybe 20. I'm not sure yet. That's a question for later. So one thing we learned is context is key when you're looking at reading Scripture, because you don't want to take just one verse and make it your cornerstone, everything like that. You want to look at the context around it. So if anybody has a chance today, I would encourage you to read John chapter 10 and look at the entire passage, because it's one of my favorite passages. It's where Jesus is warning the disciples and warning the people listening to him about false teachers and what a good shepherd truly is. You've all heard the saying before, he'll leave 99 to go get one sheep, correct? You've all heard that. That's what shepherds do. They'll do anything they can for just one single sheep, because if you don't know this, this might be a secret. Sheep are not the most intelligent animals in the world. There's a video, and if I had a TV screen to show you right now, I would show you. Maybe I'll show you it later. It's a video of this shepherd. There's like a ravine, and he pulls his sheep out of it. And the sheep is so happy, he jumps around and walks around and then jumps right back in it. Again, this shepherd's like, you've got to be kidding me. But I think it's interesting, because I think there's a reason we're called sheep, you know, and Jesus is our shepherd, because how many times have we done something that's just completely stupid? Am I right? Am I allowed to say that word? Oh, it's recorded. It's too late now. You know, how many times have we done something like that where we're like, why did I do that? And trust me, the older you get, the more chances, or the more opportunities, I should say, this is going to happen in your life. I know Paul can vouch for that. I know every other leader here can as well. But the key for us is to look at here. Jesus is talking about being our good shepherd. So, and there's a phrase he says, in here that was kind of interesting, and I had to dive a little deeper because I want to know what it meant more of that. But Jesus says here, the gatekeeper opens the gate, or he says, for a shepherd enters through the gate. This is verse number 2 in chapter 10. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And if you skip a few verses, he says in verse 7, I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep. And I was like, that is the most interesting phrase I've ever heard Jesus call himself. Unless you're a shepherd and you know what that means. I won't ask the question here because it's a little bit harder to hear, especially recording. But does anybody, there's a very importance on why shepherds say that he's the gate for the sheep. Because there's a story that this Englishman was traveling extensively around the world. And he came to the Middle East, which is where a lot of sheep folds are. And he came across this sheepfold and he asked the shepherd, he's like, that's where they go in at night, right? That's their pen. That's where they go. And he's like, yes. He's like, and when they're awake, they are perfectly safe. Or he said, and when they're in there, they are perfectly safe. But the Englishman looks at him. He said, but there's no door. There's no door. It's just open. Like, it's like you walk in and it's probably about as wide from here to maybe about her shoe or sandal right here. So it's that wide, maybe 6 feet wide. And he's like, there's no gate. So how are they safe if there's no gate? And the shepherd just simply looks at him and he says, I'm the door. And the Englishman looks at him. He's like, what do you mean you're the door? And this is where it all clicked. I'm talking about this is why Jesus is saying he's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd because he's watching over us as the flock. And he's like, you know that this truth is there because he's going to give us this life abundantly. But he said, I am the door. I am the gate. And he said, the shepherd looks at the Englishman and says, when the light has gone out and all the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space. And no sheep can ever go out but across my body. And no wolf can ever come in unless it crosses my body. He essentially says, I'm their protector. I'm the door. No harm can happen to them because I'm there. And I thought, that is huge to think about that in our lives as we look at this verse here. Because that's the context of what he's saying here. Because Jesus is warning us, saying, a thief's purpose is to hurt you. False teaching is there to hurt you, to lead you astray, to make you think it's the right thing, to make you think it's the right decision to do that. But he's saying, it's going to hurt you in the end. Trust me, I'm the gate. I'm not going to let anything bad come across me through you as long as you're in me. And Jared touched on this a little bit last night. He said, you know, how are we to know? Because, you know, the passage also says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And how are we to know the shepherd's voice? We got to know the shepherd's words. And how do we know what our shepherd's words are? And that's the Bible. That's why every time you come to camp, every time you talk to Uncle Paul, every time you talk to one of the missionaries and staffers here, we're going to tell you the importance of being in the Bible every single day. There's a reason we do it 2 times a day in chapels, and there's a reason we give you a time this week called Daily Thrive. There's a reason for that, because it's important for us as Christians to be in the Word, because it's going to tell us how to live our life and what to do. And we know the shepherd's voice, so we know what's truth and what's not. Because we don't have like a Jesus, well, we have podcasts about Jesus, but we don't have a Jesus podcast where we can hear his actual voice. We don't know what that would sound like, and it wouldn't be in English. I hate to tell you that. But we don't know his voice in that sense, but we know his voice in the sense of his word and what he's telling us to do, because we have the Bible. And he says, we know the shepherd's voice by knowing what he said and doing what he said, and we have to be in the word. Has anybody, I used to work in banking. I'm a nerd. Sorry, I did it. Does anybody have any clue? You can just raise your hand. Don't yell it out. Does anybody know how and if you didn't know this, the Secret Service is actually the ones who do counterfeit money, which is really weird because they're supposed to guard the president, but some of them aren't good enough, so they guard the money. So does anybody know how, you just raise your hand if you know the answer to this, and I'll call on you later, I know you know, how they can tell a counterfeit bill? You guys know this? I know some of the leaders might know. It's not because they study fake bills all day long. They actually hardly ever look at fake bills unless they're a fake bill and they're called to look at it. They spend countless hours with the true thing, studying the real deal, studying the real dollar bills, the real currency, knowing what it looks like, what it feels like. Because if you didn't know this, a dollar bill is actually a different texture than just paper. There's a lot more to it. But they're very intricate in knowing that. So when they touch, feel, see a fake bill, they can see it a mile away. They're like, yeah, that's a fake one. They know it because they spend time with the real one. And that's kind of like what we're called to do when it comes to God's word and hearing the shepherd's voice. To know the shepherd's voice, you got to know what he says. And to know what he says, we've got to open this more than just a week at camp. We sang about it last night. You know, he's the God of the mountain. We're on top of the mountain now. We're on a spiritual high. It's fun. We're singing two times a day. We're having a blast. We're getting loud. But Saturday morning is going to be here before we know it. And then are you still going to get in the word? And that's what he's challenging us to do. And it takes an extreme amount of discipline to do that. Because like I said, at camp, it's easy. We have set aside time. You know what I mean? We've got this time built in the schedule. You've got your counselor saying, hey, yo, stop talking, start reading. You know, you got that there. But there's going to come a time. It may not be this next week. You might be fine. You might be rocking it and going. But come September, are we still going to have that same passion? And that is what our challenge is, to live that abundant life. Because trust me, I'm not good at this. So don't look at me and be like, oh, Colt, you're doing great. You know, no, trust me. It's a daily struggle. I know it is, especially when we get in the routine things. Like when, as soon as I get home, I've got a 5.5-year-old that's going to be ready just to do something. You know what I mean? She hasn't seen me all week. She's going to be like, yo, it's time to have dad time. And so we call it dad camp. I'm off all summer, so it's called dad camp. So she's going to be ready to do some stuff. But do we set aside that time to stay in the word so we can know how to live abundantly? Because we're trusting our shepherd with that. I've heard a story before, and this is talking about just being disciplined to train yourself and prepare. You guys are sports fans. We got sports fans in here, right? Obviously, I'm wearing a soccer jersey every day. Someone pointed that out to me. You know my wardrobe for the rest of the week. Thank you. But I'm an extreme sports fan, and I love the sports mentality. One of my favorite all time was Kobe Bryant. This man had a level of discipline that was just insane. Like, it just was. He heard a story. There was one of the rival teams was coming to play the Los Angeles Lakers in the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And the guy was like, you know what? The game's at, it's a, it'd be about 7 p.m. their time, so 10 p.m. our time. He's like, so 7 p.m., I'm going to get to the gym at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and just start warming up and shooting and just, you know, making sure I'm there. And when he gets his opposing team locker room, he's getting ready to warm up. He gets his ball. He goes out to the court to start shooting some shots to get ready. And as soon as he walks out, he hears the ball already bouncing. He hears someone out there, like, working out already. And it was Kobe Bryant. And he wasn't just shooting free throws or anything like that. He was doing full moves, like practicing his juke, doing his crossover. No one else out there, just him. The lights are barely on. And he's out there doing it already. And this was, he came in at 1 o'clock, and he said Kobe Bryant was already in a full sweat, working out. And the game's at 7 that night. And he said he put in an hour and a half of shooting and warming up, and when he left, Kobe Bryant was still shooting, still practicing, still devoting time, still having discipline to make sure he's better. And he asked Kobe Bryant after the game, and he said after that game, Kobe Bryant dropped 50 points on him. I mean, dude's been in the gym shooting shots all day long, and he still drops 50 points. And he asked him after the game, what in the world are you doing? He goes, I just wanted you to know that I'm more disciplined than you, and I'm going to take more time to make sure I can study the game better and be disciplined to make sure I'm in the court to practice the game, to make sure I can perform the best I can in any situation. And I was like, that level of discipline, we can transfer that over to our spiritual lives, saying no matter what happens, being in this word to prepare our minds for anything that comes our way. Because crazy things happen. Am I right? I mean, you guys are younger, so I know I've been through crazy things. I've lost one parent in life, several grandparents. A lot of things happen. Life throws curveballs at us. But the one thing that stays the same is what we sang about last night. There's the same God that was the same yesterday, 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, will be 1,000 years in the future. And that's the one that's protecting us. So when we're looking at this, we're almost done, I promise. You guys are like, man, he's still going. But we're almost done. When we look at this word, and once again, this is the nerd side coming out of me. You guys know the New Testament wasn't written in English, right? Everybody knows that? It was written in, anybody know what it was written in?
Hebrew.
No, that's the Old Testament, but you're close. Greek. It was written in Greek. So Greek is amazing. It's hard to understand. It's definitely hard to read. But they have like 6 different words for one word that we use, and it's always important to look it up. So I did a little research for you all, so you guys didn't have to, unless you want to when you get home. But the Greek word for abundantly, or fullness, or depending on what translation you have, does anybody want to take a shot at what it means? It means abundant. Oh, come on, guys. You guys knew that. I just told you. That was a joke, guys. It's going to be a long afternoon. That's going to be a long afternoon. No, but so in Greek, it actually means beyond, superfluously, or super duper, if you will. But the most common word, the way it's used, is saying to have it. How is it word? It was almost like when Paul says, not Uncle Paul, but when Paul the apostle says, where sin abound, grace super abound. It's the same way there. So he's saying that, Jesus is saying here that you can have life, but you can have it so great, it goes beyond the necessity that you need day to day. He promises you a life that you will not need anything in him. And that's what he wants to give us that. So, and it sounds good not to just have a great life, but to have it in its full satisfaction, seeing what life was all meant to be. And it's amazing to think about that abundant life, because it's not like what the world says. It's not going to be, you know, this perfect job, because trust me, there's no such thing. Well, I guess there's probably such thing as a perfect job. Uncle Paul's job's pretty cool. So that's pretty good. He's been recruiting me all week. So, but you know, but it's not what the world says. It's not found in work. Work will never satisfy you. Ecclesiastes says that. Ecclesiastes 5:10 also says money is not going to satisfy you. And you got to think about Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and he was the richest and wisest man alive. And he's saying, work's not going to satisfy you. Things aren't going to satisfy you. Money's not going to satisfy you. But here Jesus is saying, if you want to have life to its fullest, it's found in me, and I'll give it to you. And so what that looks like in our life as Christians, if you've never heard this phrase before, is we're kind of called to be counterculture, because culture kind of goes against everything, you know, we believe. If you did not notice that, you can just take a shot at the news one day and just get that really quickly. But we're called to be that counterculture. And I think the best example of this is probably one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's in Galatians chapter 5. So that's where we're going to end at today. I know most of you probably didn't bring your Bibles. That's fine. It's Lake Day. You had no idea. But you can read this later. Galatians chapter 5. Because what Paul is doing here, the Apostle Paul, is writing to this church that he had recently left. Because, you know, he was a missionary. He would go spend 2-3 years somewhere, go to the next town, village, keep moving around like that, and building up churches, training people. So what he does is he's writing this letter to this church in Galatia. And he's just like, yo, dogs, I just left you. And you've already left the teaching I taught you. It's just like you leaving camp, and then Tuesday morning, Uncle Paul calling you and be like, yo, did you just forget everything we talked about thriving this past week? Like, did you do it? Like, what? Why were you so easily persuaded? That's what Paul's doing. So that's the book of Galatians for you. So he's like, I love you, but you're dumb, is what he's just telling him in the book of Galatians. So read the whole book. It's really good. There's a lot of good nuggets in there. But we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, because he's writing to this church that's massively failing at, quote unquote, being a Christian, because they're doing it all wrong, and they're so quick to listen to these false teachers all around them that are just simply just taking what the Bible says and just twisting it just a little bit, which is the name of the devil's game. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and the first thing you hear Satan say is, did God really say you cannot eat of this tree? He just twists just a little bit. Did he really say that? And that's what these false teachers are doing, and that's what everything is warning us about, is saying, hey, listen to the shepherd's voice, because he tells us as Christians, it's very important for us to live our lives in the light of Christ. And chapter 5 is one of the most common ones that he talks about there. So let me turn there really quick. Anticipation is building for those listening on the podcast. So here, I'll read a couple verses really quick. Chapter 5, is just he's talking about the freedom found in Christ. But then he gets towards the end, and he talks about living in the Spirit's power. And he says in verse 16, so I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. There's going to come a time when you leave camp that sinful nature, it may have already happened to you, that sinful nature is going to hit you and saying, hey, you don't really have to be in your Bible every day. It's okay. It's okay to skip this. It's okay not to listen to this. It's okay to disobey. There's going to come that time, but Paul here is challenging the church of Galatia, and he's challenging us today to say, hey, when that time comes, get back in that scripture and saying, remember what Jesus says, I am the gate. I will protect you. I will be there. I am your protector here for this. And so Paul goes on to say, and this is how you really will know that you're living that life abundantly. And this is probably, you're probably going to know the passage as soon as I start reading it. But it's something my mom always taught us and told us as a kid growing up. And it's verse 22, because in verse 19 through 21, he's talking about all the, the sins that we struggle with. But then in verse 22, he says, once again, but when the Holy Spirit controls your life, you will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law, because those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I love that for a couple reasons. One, if you've never noticed, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits, as I used to always think when I was a kid. The fruit is of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means in an abundant life that we're called to live, and that Jesus promises to give us, that we have all of these attributes to display for the world to see. That love, joy, peace, patience is probably the most common one I struggle with. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that one because I have a 5-year-old. But then there's also the kindness. And we, all of us, I feel like you guys have been so kind to me, Jared, this week. But then there's another one, gentleness. And you're like, isn't that the same thing? It's a little different. Gentleness is more of like meek. You can just talk about that. Well, that's probably another word. You probably have no idea. They probably have taken that one out of schools. I don't know. But meekness, that tenderness, that just showing that compassion. It's almost like a merciful kind of thing. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. That's what our lives are called to look like when we're living abundantly. And I was like, so that's what it's all about. It's that fruit of the Spirit. Not pick and choose the ones you want. Not because, maybe we're like, Johnny down the street gets on my nerves. So I need to practice self-control with him. Yeah, that's all right. Lash out at him. Nope. Go back. Read it again. It's all of them built into one. And that's what that abundant life will look like in us as we live our life. So my challenge to you all is, what about you? And this is something you're going to hear Jared and I say tonight probably, and even on Thursday as well, is what is holding you back from thriving? Don't answer now. This is something to start thinking about now. What is the one thing that you think you need to hold on to that God, you feel God saying, hey, trust me, I want to give you that abundant life. Lay this down. Whatever that might look like, all of us are different. Each and every one of us are made differently, but we're all made in the same image of God. And there's something holding you back. What is that? I challenge you to think about that for the rest of the day, because I think we're going to get on the buses in a minute. We're going to head back, and I think we're going to go right into, I think, our daily thrive when we get back, if I'm not mistaken. And really just think about that as you read today's devotional, as you really dive in the Word, like, what, Lord, what is it you're calling me? What is there anything distracting me from what you are trying to challenge me to do? We've got another 2.5 days left. The rest of this day, and we got 2 more, because pretty much, Friday we're here till, 6 or 7. So we got, I'll count that as a full day. So what is it that the Lord's laid on your heart? What is it that you know he's challenging you with? Because he wants to give you this abundant life. And trust me, it's all you ever need. This world will promise you everything. It's promised me everything. And sadly, I've tried a bunch of different things that do not satisfy in our life. But there's only one thing that I know is true, and that's the love of Christ and what he's done for us. Because he's the one laying in the gate to protect you and to keep you safe. I'll pray for us really quick, and then I'll turn back over to Uncle Paul. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this quick moment that we have here at the lake. Just what a beautiful place to reflect on you, reflect on your beauty, reflect on the nature around us, Lord. Father, we just love and just are honored to be here with you and in your presence. Just be with us as we travel back to camp. Give us safety. Give us the passion to live more encouraged, more enthusiastically for you. And Lord, as we've been praying every time, let us forever be changed more in the image of your Son and want to live more life passionate for him when we leave Friday night than we were when we first came in Monday morning. And help us find the courage to just stay in the Word, to stay challenged, and to keep that flame go in our lives. And if we ever struggle, if we ever have those doubts, we ever need something, just help us never be afraid to reach out and find encouragement, seek encouragement from someone from camp or someone around us to keep that flame going, Father. Pray for each and every one of these students that are here this week, staff as well, because you have us all here on purpose. You have us all here for a reason. Help us just learn how to thrive more and more as we stay focused and passionately entrenched with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thanks, Colt. Oh, let me get this phone here.